Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
It's 20 degrees in here, which is 20 degrees. It's just lovely, isn't it?
That sounds like a fridge. I mean, I was just thinking it's only 25 degrees in here. 20 degrees.
I do feel sorry for you. 25 degrees at 10:30 p.m. Because the news is, dear listener, is that I don't think I've ever recorded a podcast this late in the evening. And it's actually, I think it pays off because it's nice and cool. Well, it is here.
Well, it was my fault. I mean, dear listener, Ted and I were chatting and trying to work out what would be the best way to do this week. And it just sort of worked out. I said, well, how about a nighttime session, darling? And so here we are. It does feel weird. It feels weird to be sat in my studio at a time of day when I'm usually quite lethargic, munching on some rubbish food and just working on the computer on Photoshop or something. And instead, I'm trying to sort of gird my whatever works loins and be happy and bubbly. Feels very strange.
I do find that this time of night, I just come alive. And maybe it's a wasted life, previous life of going to the pub every night, or most nights anyway. But the evening time is the alive time for me. So... Yeah,
I've noticed my schedule does that. I mean, in the past when I was working a lot, I always noticed that if ever I was involved with a production where I had to get up every day at, 8 o'clock to be at rehearsal at 10 on the dot, as soon as that regime was over, I would just fall back to bed at 2 in the morning, get up at 11 in the morning. That just seems to be where my body wants to take me.
Here, I agree.
I am a night owl, yes. So, meeting of the night owls.
The meeting of the night owls on show 245, and it's Tuesday the 11th. No, it's not. It's Monday the 10th of August. It was going to be Tuesday the 11th, but it's now Monday the 10th of August, and...
Yes, but by the time you dear listeners hear this, it'll be at least Tuesday. I don't think we're going to actually edit and release it at 2 o'clock in the morning, are we?
Highly unlikely. Highly unlikely. I tell you what, I'm really annoyed about, though, is that we missed our 10-year anniversary.
Yeah.
It was I looked it up, and it was in January 2016. We had the first show on the 9th of January 2016, and months have gone past, and we've just lost that decade of whatever works, which is a shame. But we do have this year a 250th show rolling in, so perhaps we ought to kind of do something with that and whatever.
I think we should. And to tell you what, Ted, I mean, putting my totally selfish hat on, I didn't join the show until quite a bit later. I think I joined in 2018, is that right? So,
yeah.
I mean, we could always celebrate 10 years in a couple of years' time when I reach the 10-year point, because I'm not as old as you.
The 10-year duo. It's funny because on PSC, we've just passed the 1 year, Joe and I, with having no Steve on the show. So that's our 1 year.
It's never been a year.
Yeah. A 1 year anniversary. Wow. And we've done 39 shows now in the year since Steve stepped back. And
goodness.
Amazing.
Time flies. But I mean, it's a shame because, I mean, you know, it would have been lovely to have paid tribute to good old Dave, who started the show with you, and Richard, I believe, was involved as well in the early days before I wandered in and said, here, can I have a go? So, you know, we must doff our caps to Dave and Richard for what they did. And nevertheless, we'll have the 10th anniversary when it gets to mine in 2028.
Because you're the most important.
Absolutely. It's all about me.
Whateverworks.works is our website, and you can find us there. You can find Aidan at aidanbell.com or indeed santabell.co.uk. And you can find me at tedsalmon.com. More plugs later on. Reminder for people using Amazon, please with cherries on, use my affiliate link because it really helps. tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK. Your shopping is the same, but I get a few pennies and I don't know anything about what you've got or anything these days. So there you go.
And somebody, please buy a car or a house or something and really make Ted stay.
Yes, please.
Here, that's a thought. That would be one for, that would be an interesting topic for the show. What's the most expensive thing that you can buy on Amazon if you had the money and were so dispossessed?
Good question.
That just occurred
to me.
There's one to find
a little
out.
Theme, one show. We can do that.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So, what's been going on? Oh, last show you were talking about your internet switchover.
Oh, that's right. Last show, somebody got out of bed the wrong side. Somebody was rather grumpy last show and told me that I would regret this switchover with knobs on and that I'd be sending smoke signals for months because the internet was down and wouldn't come back. Well, Ted, I'm ever so sorry to disappoint you, but it went absolutely flawlessly. I think I told you in the last show that we had a guy from BT came round and did some diggery pokery outside at the side of the house and a hole in the road, which I didn't really know what he was doing, but he told me that's all fine. And then on the switchover day, a young guy from Zen turned up, very pleasant man, turned up at the door. He was in and out within an hour, and instantly, without any delay whatsoever, our speed went up from 250 megabyte per second to 900 and even 90. I mean, I've been testing it on fast.com and it's hanging around 900, which it should be. But I actually got 990 on the day that they set it up and I was testing.
Very nice.
And that's 110 megabytes per bits per second uploading. So, I mean, it's a shame in this respect.
It's very nice, Aidan, but that's not the bit I was questioning. The bit I was questioning is the 2 weeks after.
Oh, well, all right then. But has it been 2 weeks yet? It's been at least 1 week. But all right, you're saying it's all going to collapse under its own weight in 2 weeks.
No. All I'm saying is that the previous times that we have switched providers, there's always this 2 week period where it keeps dropping out and going back, and you've got to keep resetting the router. And when you contact them, they say, yes, you've got to expect that. It's a settling in period for 2 weeks. And sure enough, exactly 2 weeks later, it does what it's supposed to be doing. If they've got past that and that is no longer the case, as I was saying on the last show, I'm delighted. But I was just saying that that's when I last changed over, that was still happening, a 2 week settling in period.
Well, no, enjoy your delight, Ted, because I haven't had the hello, can you hear me? See what I did there? No, it hasn't. I've not had a single issue since they set it up. It's been absolutely perfect. So there you go. I was just going to say, it's kind of a shame that I'm not a crazy gamer with 18 monitors and playing with 45 people at once on the web, because I don't really notice, to be honest. You know, our Google Home speakers are a little bit brighter and snappier than they may have been before. And, you know, streaming on TV is no problem at all now. But I don't really notice. No. But it's just nice to say, we've got nearly 1,000 megabytes per second. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, and of course, the other thing, and the reason that we did it in the first place is because I brought the bill down, and I was even wrong last time when I quoted. Virgin were pushing us towards 70 quid, which is why I got upset and started this in the first place. We're now paying £36 a month. Mm-hmm. Instead of up to 70 from Virgin.
Yeah.
Your turn.
It's all good, and I'm really pleased that you've had a positive experience. And if your experience is the way it is now, then absolutely great. I lived through the days of it being a complete pain in the ass, so much so that when my mum was last, my late mum was last talking about doing this, I was, I said, "Are you sure you want to do this? All you're doing is going up to optics. It won't be that much faster." Yeah, she wanted to do it. And sure enough, for 2 weeks afterwards, she kept phoning me up and saying, "I can't get connected." And I said, "Reboot the router." Yeah, sure enough, it really
has had a bad effect on you, Ted, hasn't it? I know a counsellor you could speak to if you want.
I tell you, the other thing I was going to mention was that we used to do very successfully, Steve and I, the PSC podcast, and I had six down and one up. 6 megabits per second down and 1 megabit up. And we did that in 2009 when we first started. It worked. It was fine. All I'm saying is that, 50 is enough. You know, for most people, yeah. for most things.
Yes, I think so. Yeah. Yes, I agree. I concur. But the other thing we have to remember, Ted, is technology is moving at lightning speed. And so, you know, what you, I mean, I presume, you're, when was the last time you experienced all this negativity? About four, five, six years ago,
about
was
that.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously it's come on leaps and bounds since then.
Yeah, great, great. I'm very pleased. I genuinely am really pleased because I know now that if we had to do it again, it wouldn't be the same as that chaos.
No, I think it would be fine. Right, let's move on before all our listeners switch off.
I have done something that I've never done before, and it is to back something on Kickstarter.
Wow.
Always said I wouldn't take the risk, but actually this thing is only 20 quid. So it's a little torch thingy. It's a really interesting looking thing that my dad will love for Christmas. And so that was the idea. It's a little torch with a very bright beam and lights coming out the side and a green laser, which you'll never use. It's just all singing, all dancing. And he just loves torches and lights and stuff like that. You can charge it by USB-C, and it's got a red light that flashes on the side and all sorts of stuff which he'll never use. But it's
got a clip on it, hasn't it? Because I saw the fancy video of people just kind of slapping it onto their cap or their coat.
So you can carry it like a pen in your pocket, or you can clip it to your shoulder, or, you know, you can use it in multiple different ways, and he'll love it. Anyway, the news here really is that I took the risk and I said I never would.
But are you confident it's going to arrive and on time? I mean, do you know how they're getting on with it?
Yeah, it's hugely oversubscribed. They've met their target many, many, many times over. I can't see that it's not going to be supplied.
So they'll be flying first class to South America with your money, will they?
It's supposed to be shipping in August. We're in August now, aren't we?
Yeah.
So it could arrive any minute. If this works out well, I might get into this stuff and find some other things for 20 quid.
Good for you, Ted, because I always think, you know, we sometimes wax lyrical about all these wonderful things that are coming, but we don't actually do anything to support them. Yeah. So I'm very glad you've done that. The one and only Kickstarter I ever supported was, of course, the phone, the Gemini, yes. when it first came out from Planet Computers in the early, early days. I supported that. But then again, that was quite selfish. I suppose, why would anybody support it unless they wanted to own one?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, good luck. I hope the torch arrives. And is as it should
there
be.
There is life outside of Amazon.
Yes. And I'm glad, because talking of Amazon, do you remember the flying wooden dragon that so touched me and I was so taken with it and my heart was moved and I wanted one, but it was something like $250
something like that? Yeah.
And I found a much, much cheaper one. I think it was 28 quid on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Which I ordered, and I think I told you that. Well, a very nice correspondence, and I'm quite confident it was genuine. I had very nice correspondence with the seller of this thing, who wrote and said, look, we're having trouble with customs and with a shipment. I can't remember what the terminology used was, but basically they were obviously having trouble getting it to me from China or from wherever it was coming. And he said, I can give you the choice of a refund or we'll try again. And I said, thank you, try again. I'm happy to wait longer. And then again, after that, he sent another message saying, sorry, this hasn't worked either. We are refunding you, and they refunded me without even asking if I wanted them to, and that was that. And of course, I've now looked through, and I can't find any others anywhere close to that price. Mm. So, as you say, they maybe fell off the back of a lorry. But I think the problem was probably all to do with the Strait of Hormuz and Donald Trump and all this nonsense going on in the world. They couldn't get it to me. So the dragon will have to live to breathe fire another day, because I won't see it.
Oh dear, very, very sad. A bit like the air conditioning units, which we'll come to now, because the air conditioning units, I've noticed that they're starting to creep back into UK outlets, including Amazon, if you're not fussy about branding. But it does look as though the Straits of Hormuz have allowed some through or something. I will replace my iGenix one because it's been so good. But I'm not in a hurry, because my one is still working, as you know. When they make one available, I will get one. In fact, I emailed them and said to them, but what I was up to. And they haven't replied yet, incidentally, but hopefully they will in time. And I'll probably buy one straight from the company in the end, rather than going through Amazon, depending on the pricing, of course. But the other thing that I've been doing this week is going to a party. And I just hate parties as much as you do. And it was my dad's 90th birthday, and he seemed to have a nice time. But it's just so, parties are just so pointless and embarrassing, I think. People milling around with a paper plate full of stupid little knickknacks to eat on them, and bumping into other people and saying, "Oh, hello, hello, what's your name?" And "Oh, what do you do for a living?" And "Oh, yeah, oh, that's not..." "Who do you know here?" And "What sort of?" And on it goes, and you'll never see these people again, likely. And I'm sure that nobody in this gathering of about 50 people will I'll ever see again, apart from my dad. And my sisters, but they probably think the same as me. And so I just like to add to the mix for the week is that that was really boring and tedious, and I hated it, but I still did it.
Well, on the one hand, I utterly agree with you, Ted. You and I, after men after each other's hearts, totally. I think I may have mentioned on a show a while back, I was invited to a wedding, and my first reaction was my heart sank and went cold, and I thought, how can I get out of this? However, I think you and I are very much in the minority. I think most people are not like us. Most people would enjoy such a gathering. So, I mean, you know, I'm glad you didn't submit this to Room 101, because I would have had to say, oh, get alive, Ted, when not everyone's like us. But personally, speaking eye to eye and man to man, yes, I agree, absolutely.
What I was quite close to putting into Room 101 was weeds and gardening, because I suddenly realised that around my caravan, particularly at the back, it's just completely overgrown. And, you know, the responsibility for looking after that, I'm not sure whose it is.
Yeah.
I have asked the other site whose it is, but I've ordered a big thing of weed killer, so hopefully... I detest gardening. And also, because I get hay fever, gardening needs doing at the complete worst time of the year for me.
Oh, yeah, I can certainly understand that, yes. Unlike you, I actually found to my absolute amazement and astonishment that from COVID onwards, I actually enjoy gardening, but not in this weather. I mean, I wouldn't want to garden in this weather. I mean, you should see my pond. And I've got a pond in the garden. I don't know if I mentioned it. My pond and the garden are just looking awful. Not only are they brown, but they're just overgrown and untended and unkempt. And because I just can't be asked to go out there and do anything in this weather.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you can't be asked to go out and do anything in this weather, it might be because you need a no-laundry shirt, which will stop you. There's a tenuous link in there.
I mean, it's a link where one thing has nothing to do with the other whatsoever. But good, nice try, Ted. Nice try.
I did think of you, actually, when I saw this shirt, which is apparently you don't have to launder for 30 days due to the fact that there are elements in the blend that includes copper, silver, zinc, gold, volcanic ash, would you believe, and two proprietary ingredients embedded directly into the threads of the material. And they reckon that you just, if you wear this shirt, you can wear it for up to 30 days and you don't get sweat. You don't stink like a pig's backside. And it's being marketed as a no laundry shirt. And the reason I thought of you was because the previous conversation we had about what to wear under your Santa suit, that was the tenuous link for that as well.
Is one of these proprietary ingredients snake oil by any chance? I took an interest in this, and I read through and I read about it, and it seems to be the USP is that it doesn't smell. That's what they're getting at.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Even if it smells fresh as a daisy, that doesn't mean it's not still full of bugs and grease and dirt and unhygienicness. And it's just...
maggots.
And yeah, God knows what's in there. And you don't know what's in there because it doesn't smell, because they've got rid of the smell. But it doesn't say it actually keeps it hygienically clean for 30 days. No, thank you. Not for me. I think... one could almost say that the point of the smell is to tell you it's time to wash the shirt. It's a bit like saying that's why we feel pain, so we know to take our hand out of the fire. If you can't smell your shirt, maybe you just go on wearing it until you get some awful skin disease. No, sorry.
Somebody in the group said that, all joking aside, a practical application could be for homeless people or people that have got, you know, no money or access to laundry facilities or what have you. And if it does work, and they are selling this thing already,
yeah.
So it's not like it's just a concept or anything.
Yeah, okay, you've got me there. I can sort of see that use for people who aren't able to. If you're not actually able to, then it's a stopgap. But I don't think it's something people should say, hey, I don't need to use my washing machine because I've got these clothes that you can't tell that I stink like an old fart.
Some people apply the same principle to hair washing, don't they? They never wash their hair. And they survive and it's okay.
Yeah, my father always used to wash his hair with ordinary soap, with hand soap, which I always thought was a bit bizarre. At least he washed it. Anyway, Chris Kelly. Let's move on swiftly, folks. Chris Kelly. He posted about the Oral-B iO3 electric toothbrush. Prompted by Aidan's mention of him still using this fancy toothbrush, says Chris, on the last show, for many, many years, I've used an Oral-B electric toothbrush. The ones with the oscillating rotary heads. I always got a new one when the battery started to fail, and I always bought the cheapest, most basic model. Some months ago, my wife bought a Philips Sonic toothbrush and raved about it. My toothbrush was also due to be replaced, and I discovered that the Oral-B iO range that Aidan has combined the high-frequency vibrations of a Sonic toothbrush with the traditional rotating head. The range is much more expensive than I would normally spend. I opted for the base model, the iO3, at £65. It lacks the Aidan bells and whistles. See what I did there? But I have to say that I can feel how good a job it does compared to my old one. It really is excellent. Yeah, I remember actually, Chris, in my defence, I don't think I spent a lot more than that. I may have spent about 75, 80 quid, but I bought the higher range one off eBay, which is how I got the better one at a similar price. And I concur with you, Chris. I think it does do a fantastic, it does indeed combine Sonic with rotation, and it does a very good job. I think I mentioned it sarcastically on the show when I put it into still using just a couple of shows ago, that it does all sort the bells, the Aidan bells and whistles are that it talks to your phone and it keeps a record of how long you brushed and how much you brushed, and it's information that I couldn't conceive ever giving a f- about. So I actually don't use the Aidan bells and whistles myself, but I concur with you, Chris. Excellent toothbrush, yes.
Very good. Sometimes it's of great benefit to only have 7 teeth left. Right. Ed House is next on the Depstech. Depstech industrial endoscope, the DS300 model. The first one I had 3 years ago was wireless and worked with a phone, which was frankly a bit naff. The wireless meant that the signal was rough and the feed jerky. What's a endoscope? I can't remember what it is now. It's to do with drain clearing, isn't it? So
I believe it's the camera on the end of a thing, so you can...
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah. No, you're right, it is. It's a thing we're looking into drains with, right.
Yeah, but also probably down your gullet and back of sofas you've lost your coins and that sort of thing as well.
And up your backside.
I was hoping we'd avoid that one, but go on.
the wireless meant the signal was rough and the feed jerky, says Ed. So my tip would be to get one of the ones with the screen built in and avoid the lure of smartphones centrally for more usable video feeds and better image quality. This one has a camera with LEDs both forward and forward facing on the cable and at 90 degrees, so it can show two directions. Right, I fumbled my way through that, but actually I'm getting the idea now. It's a bit like my otoscope. So You remember that otoscope I brought to the show, which I stick in my ear to see what is going on with my eardrum? Right. So, I, like Ed here, I had one that you had to use on your mobile phone, which was a bit crap in the end. And I got one that does have a completely separate unit with its own screen, and it is much, much better. So I'm with you now, Ed. Sorry to have fumbled through my way through that. Perhaps your second item, Aidan will not crucify.
Preparation is all, Ted. His second item is the, oh yeah, this one's even harder, the Hick Micro, H-I-K Micro Echo DO1 handheld thermal camera. Ed says, I'm trying to resolve issues with radiators not heating up, so this has been invaluable in tracing exactly where the problem is. But sadly, neither of these will make it any easier to fix said problem.
Just see it. You can see it, but you can't fix it.
You can see it. Yeah, but don't they say knowing you have a problem is half the issue? So there you go.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chris, and thank you, Ed, for your items at the last minute, bringing them in there. And I think it's about time we had our first jingle.
Yeah.
Still using and still using.
Here's a word for you to try and go on. You ever go first?
Amerigo.
That's a strange word,
isn't it? Ameriergo. Yeah, anyway. That'll do. Would you care to join me for a Ameriergo, sir?
Yeah, that's the kind of thing. I've no idea what the word can possibly mean, but it's an adjustable footrest cushion, which I brought to the show in April 2021. It was Whatever Works 134, and it was £25 back then, which was silly expensive for this cushion, but it is very good, and I'm still using it. It sits under my desk, and my feet are on it constantly, raising my knees up, and it's actually really nice. My mum used to use it when she was watching the telly and keeping her feet off of the floor and stuff. So it's been around for quite a long time. Well, 5 years, in fact. And it's really nice, especially in the summer when I've got bare feet. When I'm forced against my will not to wear socks, because like you, Aidan, I hate not wearing socks. But in the summer, I just can't bring myself to wear socks. It just makes me hotter. But sitting my feet on this cushion with bare feet is really, really nice. You can take it apart. It's Velcroed together in two parts, so you can actually make it higher or lower. And also, there's zips on it, so you can take the covers off and wash them, which I don't think anyone ever has. Well, my mum might have done at some point, I suppose, but I haven't. It must be filthy, like a 30-day shirt.
There you go.
You can't get these now, but you can get a wedge-shaped one from the same firm. So they've obviously decided, instead of doing a domed symmetrical one, to actually wedge-shape it in a different way. But it's still about £25. They're not cheap, but they are. It's lasted well, and it's in daily use. So I'm still using a Ameriergo footrest cushion.
It's very nice. It's the sort of thing my mother would like. I do approve. And while you've been speaking, AI has informed me that Ameriergo is an office accessory brand that makes ergonomic workplace products. Well, we could have worked that one out for ourselves, really, couldn't we?
Anyway, recommended.
I thank you, sir. And I bring you show 213, 7th of October, 2024, the Beelink Mini PC 13th Gen Intel Adler Lake N150 mini computer. All those numbers and letters don't really matter. The point is to say that my mother is still using, without the slightest concern or worry or problems, her mini PC. I remember when we bought this and I brought it onto the show, I was astounded, and to some degree I still am astounded, that what I've grew up knowing to be a bloody great big box the size of about three shoeboxes stacked on top of each other has now become a tiny little box about the size of three cigarette boxes stacked side by side, if that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's extraordinary to me how tiny this thing is. And I remember when I got it, you had a bit of concern about A, heat, and B, sound. And, well, I mean, sound isn't going to bother my mother anyway because she's 90.
No.
But I can't hear it. When I'm in her room doing anything for her on the computer, I can't hear a thing. And it doesn't get hot. I mean, just the other day, we were backing up our computers. And so I spent quite a long time in there running running the drives and backing up data back and forth for literally hours at a time. And it didn't overheat, didn't make a noise, didn't. So it's just, it's amazing. It's amazing that it exists at all. And it's amazing that it is still going on almost daily use since 2024. Absolutely brilliant.
Excellent. And I've got a feeling that when you brought it to the show, it was not 299 quid. I think it was cheap, much cheaper than that. Is that been a Ramageddon thing?
Well,
because it's just, I think that's, can you remember how
I'm
much
looking
it was?
Oh, here we are. £164.20 we paid.
I rest my case. 299 quid now.
Yeah, well, that'll blame Donald Trump. Right. There'll be letters. Okay, let's. Can we have another jingle before I get myself into trouble?
I found these really interesting replacement ideas for ice cubes. I got fed up with making ice cubes. Hundreds of ice cubes, and every time you use them, you've got to, you know, basically go through the whole process again of making more and making new ones. Well, anyway, I found these ice balls, and they're 6 centimetres across. You fill up the... Right, first of all, you get a pack of 9 for £6.99, so it qualifies as Judge Barton's cheapest chips. 9 of these things, £6.99. And what you do is you take the two sides of the plastic apart and you fill it up with water. And if you can imagine 6 centimetres round, which is about, what's that, about 2.5 inches, isn't it? And you can make these big balls of ice. And they work really, really well because they release their, even in the warmest of days, they release the ice, they melt the ice really, really slowly. So unlike little ice cubes, these things will just last forever. Well, not forever, but they last a much, much longer time. And you get a pack of mixed colours, pink, blue and white. And when you've taken one out, you basically fill it back up and stick it back in the freezer. I know that's the same argument as I made against the other method. But it somehow feels quicker and easier to get your big ice ball out, fill it up, put it back. That's it. Done. Not stand there with a tap over a tray and then balance it across the room to get it back in. Anyway, so in cahoots with this, I got these glasses, which are really, really nice, which don't really qualify for cheapest chips, because they were £16.99 for 6 of them. Well, they do individually. And they were the perfect size for these ice balls, because one thing that is against this is that you know, they're not going to fit in every glass you've got. A lot of glasses will be too small for a 6 centimetre big ball of ice. But these glasses were really nice, and the cube fits in there, the ball fits in there really nicely, and they are nicely designed glasses, and I'll put a link to those as well. They're called the Ice 10 Highball Glasses, and I like them very much. Your turn.
I was just thinking, you know those kids that you keep saying make a lot of noise outside your your place?
Yeah, yeah. Well, have you got some?
No, but 6-inch ice cube balls.
Oh, I see.
You're with
yeah,
me?
Yeah. That'd be a laugh, wouldn't it?
No, I'm actually amused. We can hear the polar bear coming out in you, because I mean, if it's not ice lollies, it's ice balls or it's ice towels.
Yeah, I couldn't live without a freezer. I can live without a washing machine. I can live without a dishwasher. I can live without a microwave. I can live without a cooker, but not a fridge.
I've got to have that printed on a T-shirt for you, Ted. I tell you what I bring to I tell you what I bring to Judge Barton's cheapest chips is crisp, cryptic crossword books. Try saying that at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Nice.
These are for my mother. I mean, I applaud my mother loudly from a great height, because she's keeping the brain cells ticking over by doing crosswords. She's never got her head out of a crossword book, which at her age is fantastic, because she's just keeping everything ticking over, and she gets through them. My goodness me! And she's working her way through the Daily Telegraph cryptic crossword books from Amazon. They all sell at around 8 to 10 quid around each. And when she's coming to the end of one, I jump online and find one that she hasn't hasn't done already and order it for her. And I just wanted to bring to the show real books made of paper that you lick your finger and turn the page and you fill in the crosswords with a pen. So, you know, vive la analogue for my mother and her cryptic crossword books.
Better before. And my mum had some of these. She couldn't do them because she couldn't work out the whole cryptic thingy. At one time in my life, I worked out how to do the cryptic crosswords.
I
got into the code and I got into what obviously your mum can do. But when I pick one up now, I can't remember all the rules and it's gone away again. But yeah, my mum had a go. And there's still, I think, two of these in the bookcase at home. So spurred on by this item, I'm going to go and grab them and have another go. Hurrah!
You know, for me, a crossword is who starred in Endeavour or how many stairs are there in the Eiffel Tower? My mother says, oh, this is a brilliant one, Aidan, listen to this. And she tells me the clue and then says the answer and says, isn't it clever? And I just look blankly and go,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I just, again, hats off to her, you know. That I can't do it.
It's about puzzling.
Yeah.
It's about puzzling. It's about mystery and puzzling and discovery and
yeah.
But you've got to be able to understand the base rules.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the thing is, my mother's career was first as a teacher and latterly as an indexer. And to be an indexer, you have to be able to take the disparate parts from different places and put them together in an understandable sequence. And so
right.
I mean, we're out. And she'd say, oh look, that reminds me of something we did 6 years ago there. And I think, my God. She's just made this connection in her head without even thinking of it. So, yeah, there you go.
Mm, brilliant. I want one,
I want one, I want one. I want one of those.
I really, really, really want one of these. I tell you, sometimes we bring things to I want one of those, and it's kind of, you know, oh, I found this and I quite fancy it. But I really want one of these. It's a camping bed, which is made for a big person, basically. It's got a really sturdy frame and it takes up to 65 stones in weight. 65 stones! Not that I'm anywhere near that, but, you know, this thing is built for sturdy, strong action. And it
American wrestlers.
Exactly, yeah. And it comes with a lovely looking padded mattress to go on top of it. And it all folds up. And if you look at the photograph of it, you can see that all the legs are clearly very strong and thick. But it all folds up neatly into this carry bag. And when I mentioned this in the group, Gareth Williams, who we know is one of our camping fiends, he went off to buy a couple of them because he was also really impressed with the whole idea of it. And so I honestly don't really have the need for one, except for maybe a guest coming to stay at my dad's or something. But it just looks so fantastic. Oh, so much better than those flimsy little beds that we used to take camping with us when we were kids, which are, you know, they fall apart
oh,
as
yes.
soon as you look at them. These just look amazing. The bad news is, though, that when I put this in the group, they were £145,
ooh.
Which is expensive enough, but it's very, very good. And I personally think it's worth that. The sad bit now is, though, that I don't know why, but it's gone up to £230 or something. It's quite a ridiculous leap in price. So hopefully Gareth got in when they were £145 if he got them. Let us know, Gareth, if you did or not. But I want one of those.
Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, what jumped out at me from what you've just said is you described it as being ready for sturdy, strong action. OK, we better not go down that path. Maybe it's because of the woman lying on it in the photograph on Amazon. I don't know.
Yes. I wouldn't say no. I wouldn't kick her out of bed. I mean, no. Behave yourself.
Oh, dear. Talking of sturdy, strong action, I'm taking sturdy, strong action. I'm going to put Samsung into room 101 at some point because just to continue briefly with my saga of the Google glasses together with Warby Parker that, as we know by now, I'm very keen to buy a pair of as soon as they're released. I got onto the web and I found the live chat for Samsung, because I talked to AI, I talked to Gemini, who told me that out of Google, Warby Parker and Samsung, it would be Samsung in the UK that would be handling this and that I would need to get in touch with. Tried to get in touch with them on their live chat, and the person was coming back in broken English, I might add, not really understanding my question and saying, oh, we don't know, we only have access to the website like you do, we can't tell you anything. I then managed to find a phone number for Samsung, which I was hoping was for their flagship store in King's Cross, the KX store. But no, it was just a general Samsung number. And again, the woman said, oh, I don't know. I can't help you. I'm sorry. I don't know anything. I asked if there was a number for the KX store. No, there is no number. Sorry. So consequently, the reason for my saying this now is to let you know that Monday I'm going to be traipsing from Hatfield to King's Cross. All to walk into the shop and no doubt have somebody who finally knows what they're talking about say to me, sorry, mate, you'll have to come back in a month. But you never know. I might be luckier. I just don't want to find I've missed any opportunity, and it would be interesting to go down there. So I'm going to the Samsung shop. I'm going to Samsung KX, which apparently is, as I've said, their flagship store in London, to inquire about these glasses. I shall tell you more on the next show. What's this creep?
Creep spy. Actually, these glasses over the last couple of weeks, since we last spoke about them, there's been a lot of saying that everyone's really concerned about them. Some government departments and schools and what have you are saying they're not letting people wear them. Meta glasses have been banned from the people that have got Instagram accounts are not allowed, they won't let them load up photographs from them. There's a real big privacy concern going on here. I know you're not in it for that. You're in it for the clever tech stuff, but the whole privacy thing is really taking off.
If you find me lying down on the floor at the London Underground looking up, you know there's trouble, yeah.
Be interesting to see the Samsung store, though. Absolutely. See if you can get hands-on with a Z Fold 8, which is all the rage.
I shall.
Better
before.
We've not done a better before for ages, have we? It's I'd forgotten what the jingle was like.
But everything is perfect. You see, we don't need it anymore. Yeah, right.
Yes, Ed House is back with Matt Sui, and when he popped up with his Matt Sui kind of music centre kind of CD player radio thingy, which he put a photograph in the group about, he posed the question. He says, I'm still using this, so not only a better before, it's a still using a CD player my granddad bought me as a nipper, and I'm now finding that for some music like classic rock or Dia Matrona, whatever that is, who apes some of the Fleetwood Mac style, I like it better than more capable Bluetooth speakers. Crap electronics as the next phase of nostalgia, maybe? Certainly better before. I looked up Matsui to remind myself. Introduced in the 1980s by Curry's. I seem to remember it being at Dixon's, not Curry's, but whichever. And they used to make, a Matsui line. That if you went into one of these places, you could buy all sorts of kind of electronic gear with them. Japanese stuff, made in Japan, allegedly. But they stopped making them, apparently, in 2010. So it's a shame. But, yeah, Matsui. And the other one that came up was Miranda. I remember getting Dixon's Miranda camera at one point
I
as well.
I vaguely remember the name, yes.
Yeah.
I tell you
anyway,
what.
Good better before. A proper music machine, Ed. I do agree.
It's funny that, you know, he insinuates quite correctly CDs being old technology. I have trouble with that. For me, cassette tapes are old technologies. LP records are old. For CDs and DVDs are now becoming... It's all moving too bloody fast. I don't know if you ever saw it, but I remember in London, Tower Records in the centre of London, downstairs had an enormous room with this bloody great big machine behind glass that was producing this thing called a CD that was going to be the big new thing. And, you know, it cost £1,000 for one. And, time flies, eh?
Yeah. Everything goes round.
I tell you what, this is a better before. I tell you what, suddenly I had the desire in my car to listen to the Beatles Concerto. I remember mentioning it on Chewing Gum for the Ears with you and Steve once. Beatles Concerto, a John Rutter concerto for two pianos and orchestra based on Beatles themes. And I thought, I want to hear it. And of course, such is technology these days. I just had to say Google keyword, play me the Beatles Concerto. And up it came and it played. And on screen, I saw a little picture of the album cover. And I thought to myself, this is a really good recording. I'd like to get this. And then another voice said to me, why? You're listening to it in the car. You've just called it up out of the universe. Why do you need to own the CD or the LP? Because, and that's sad because, you know, we've said it too many times on this show, but the smell and the feel and the touch and the possession of LPs is what it was all about. And for some like yourself still is. It's a shame. There's the better before. Bring it back.
I do not have the same attraction to CDs as I do to vinyl albums. I think it's very, very different.
Yeah.
CDs are, you know, modern tech compared to
but
vinyl.
The thing is, you own something, whether it's a CD or a cassette or a DVD.
Yeah.
You own a physical object in your house on your shelf that you can say, that's my copy. I managed to find it in a little bookshop in Charing Cross. And I got, you know, we don't need that anymore. You just say, oh, Google, play me this. And it just plays it to you. And it's boring.
Yes. Two sides to every coin.
Whatever.
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 Work.
Da, 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 da. I'm not. I'm still in a bad mood now.
Yeah, you go first. Go on. Whatever.
Right.
Work. Duh.
Where were we?
We were talking about. Oh yeah. We grouped some shows together because we ran out of stuff to talk about except our own stuff.
Yes.
So this is. This is shows 97 to 101, which ran from December 19 to February 2020. Right, over to you.
Yeah, well, I wanted to just bring out, there were three water flossers in this selection, one of which I must confess may have been mine, but I don't remember. But I do remember having a big thing about water flossers and having one and using it moderately regularly until the honeymoon period ended and I just stopped. And yes, it is still owning, if not a still using it somewhere in the house. But I remember water flosser was the thing, this little tiny jet of water that you squish into your teeth. And indeed it worked. It squished between your teeth and cleaned things. But it was very messy and it either ran down your chin and onto your shirt or you had to spit it out into the sink. I mean, it wasn't the easiest way for oral hygiene. But yeah, I just thought I'd mention that. There was the Waterpik Aquarius WP660. There was the Apica Oral Irrigator Family Dental Washer. There was the Philips Sonicare Air Floss. And these were all just fun devices for sticking in your gob to clean your teeth with water because you can't be asked to use a toothbrush, I suppose.
Yeah. I've never used one, but my sister is a fan and uses it and thinks it's great.
Still now. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So she thinks it's really good. But there you go. Simon Bates brought us the letterbox mail catcher, which is a thing you stick on the back of your front door. And presumably, if you've got dogs and stuff that might tear up your mail. But everything drops in there. And if you can't bend over very well because you're old and you've lost your memory like me, then you can just pick the stuff up from the mail catcher, which
is
stuck to
your back door. It's a sort of sack,
isn't
it? It's like hanging a sort of Christmas sack out. And I should have one. Christmas sack in your letterbox, yeah.
It is, yeah. And the other one was from Julie Wills, who had these sock clips, which you can use for anything you want, really. But they're really handy clips that you can clip. My mum used to use these to hang socks from a rotary dryer thingy, and she did that with them. But you can clip whatever you like with them, really. And they're nice little clippy things, which I remember being brought to the show.
I remember them on the show. It was not long after I joined the show, and I remember this is one of the first things that you were raving about, yes.
Right, OK, there you go. Well, that was Julie Wills, and that was Simon Bates, and I'm going to give up now. Oh, no. Ed House is back on People Who Don't Read Signs. A little bit of a story here, bear with me. While waiting at a premier inn breakfast buffet, I noticed a father and son causing a massive smoke hazard after deciding to put three croissants into a conveyor toaster, just seconds away from setting off the fire alarms and ruining breakfast. I stepped in to help the hotel staff by lifting the toaster's exit ramp to drop the smouldering pastries onto the floor. The culprits have completely ignored a massive, clearly written English sign on the machine explicitly saying, in capitals, no croissants. Ed is putting people who don't read signs into Room 101. People who ignore such obvious instructions lack basic rational thought, he says.
I agree. I agree, actually. I mean, you know, it's one of the things that, you know, in various aspects of my career and things I've been involved with, there's a sort of general understanding people are stupid. You have to work on the premise that people are stupid and, you know, and build things accordingly. So, yeah, maybe the sign wasn't loud enough or hard enough or bright enough. Or I don't know. Yeah, I tell you what I'm bringing. I'm bringing these new, well, they're not new anymore, actually. They're quite old by now, and they are ubiquitous. The bloody bottle tops. We've had this on the show before, so it's a repeat, I know, but I want to shove it even further down into Room 101. The plastic tops that when you take the top off, the bloody thing hangs on by two little pieces.
Yeah.
I mean, I've worked how to do it now. You turn it one way, and when it's off, you just turn it through 90 degrees and twist it round around the other way, and you manage to snap them both off. Horrid, 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 horrid things which I hate with a passion.
Here, here. My dad's got a pair of scissors on the top of the fridge for this purpose. So every yeah. bottle he opens, he's got his scissors to hand to cut the blooming thing off. Really annoying. However, we do have some people in the group who think they're a good idea. We've had this discussion in the MeWe group.
But how do you drink? I mean, you know, especially bottles that you want to drink out of. They get in the way. They scratch your nose. It's just horrid things.
I agree. And I tell you what another horrid thing is Vinted. Well, not Vinted itself, but Vinted customer support, according to Joe Hickey. Recently, he bought a top. I guess that means a shirt. The item dispatched on the 31st of July and hasn't moved on tracking with Royal Mail. I contacted customer support to try and get a refund because I noticed Vinted had actually blocked the seller. Their response is that I have to wait 25 business days, which takes me to the 8th of September. Once I get to the 8th of September, I've got a 48-hour window to make a claim for an investigation to start. When I ask questions, they repeat the same stuff. There's meant to be a human at the other end, but it's actually the least human-like customer support I've ever experienced, says Joe. Some AIs give more human-like responses. Vinted are just awful. Bin them. Well, Vinted customer support. Actually, I think my sister uses Vinted, and she actually has a great deal of success with them and likes them a lot. But I think it's this experience of talking to robots that Joe didn't not knowing if it's a robot or not.
Yeah, I found that. I mean, I went through a whole thing getting, I think I mentioned on the show before, actually, getting my DBS certificate for my Santa work. I had a correspondence with a lady called Helen back and forth. And it was only quite some time in that I realised that Helen was a bloody machine. Yeah. I mean, it would be fine if there was just some stipulation that if an AI is responding, it says, you know, in brackets afterwards, AI, or, you know, why give them human names?
Reference Tech Addicts podcast at the weekend, because the EU are bringing that very thing in. There's a new AI piece of legislation that anything in the EU that is AI has to be labelled as AI and make it clear to people it's AI. I've forgotten about
brilliant.
That.
Brilliant. Except that we're not in the bloody EU anymore.
No. we're moved to Dublin.
Oh, dear, dear. Oh, we better play something nice now instead. Now, this is weird, Ted. I wanted...
I'm still eyeing.
I wanted to give a gold star to Zen Internet, going right back to the beginning of the show with my flawless connection, you know, binning Virgin and starting with Zen. But then I sort of double took and thought, well, hang on a minute. They didn't really do anything above and beyond. They did their job. Now, they did it well. They did what they're meant to do, and they did it well, and all was fine. But isn't it weird that we live in a world now where when somebody, when you have a good experience with a company with no problems, you think, oh, I must give them a gold star. Well, no, all they did was their job. So I sort of, it's a half a gold star. It's a sort of a gold star for not getting a black star. Do you know what I mean? It's a weird one.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And the same is true of my gold star as well, to some degree, which is Discogs, where you can find obscure vinyl records, which I did a few weeks ago and found this single that I wanted from years gone by. And I found it. And I'll put a couple of links in the show notes to an example search there and the results. And it's a really, really well thought out website. But yeah, same thing applies. They're only doing their job. So is it a gold star, or is it just that we're expecting everyone to do a crap job?
Yeah, it's a sad indictment of the world we live in if you give special commendation to a company when all they did was their job.
yeah. But anyway, have a look at that if you're interested, anyone, in Discogs.
Yes, and anybody who wants to switch their internet, broadband, I highly recommend Zen Internet, Z-E-N.
Cool. Right, I think we're done.
I think
we are. It is it midnight yet? Or not quite?
you're going to turn into a werewolf or something live on air.
We'll be back in 2 or 3 weeks, or depending on what we've got going. And whateverworks.works is our website, where you'll find links to all the stuff we're doing. AidanBell.com is where Aidan hangs. And I'm at TedSalmon.com, where you will find all the links to everything you need and the podcasts you need. Don't forget to use my affiliate link, please. tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK. And if you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that. It's at paypal.me/TedSalmon, and I'll be even more grateful. Otherwise, we'll catch you in the MeWe group, and do let us know whatever works in your life and what is crap too. Last word to you.
And the word is eclipse. Don't forget, everybody, it's probably tomorrow as you listen to this.
Oh, yeah.
Wednesday the 12th, around 7 p.m, not quite total, but fairly close to eclipse of the sun. Probably well worth a look.
Very cool indeed. Yes, indeed.
Have fun.
So, as one, as always, one last thing to say, don't forget,
whatever
works.
Works.
Oh,
I think we're going to have to work on that bit.